Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Jackman Radio Podcast. To those of you who have listened before, welcome back. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I welcome you and thank you for joining us. Tonight, I'm very excited to have a guest from the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. campaign for president. He's an advisor to the campaign to Mr. Kennedy, and that is Mr. Jamel Hawley. Jamel, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Jackman, and thank you for all of your support and advocacy over, I want to say, will be a year out next month with this campaign and your willingness to join in on this mission with millions of Americans across the country relative to Mr. Kennedy's campaign. And very humbled and honored that you would even invite me to join your audience and your base to have a conversation that is important and what we need to have across this country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate that. Yeah, it was crazy. My brother and I got the first long form sit down with Bobby the day after he announced in April last year. So we spent over an hour with him. And from then I'm like, I got to support this guy. There's no way that I can sit on the sidelines. And we have, we have him running. He's willing to do it. And like I guessed and predicted, this campaign has brought together an amazing contingency of people from all walks of life, from all backgrounds politically. So I'd like just for you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got your start in politics, where you're from, and what forms your belief system and how you got plugged in with RFK Jr.
Yeah, thanks again, Jackman. I started out in politics about the tender age of 16, 17, 11th, 12th grade. Was volunteering on many local elections, helping local candidates in my community. I was born and raised in New Jersey, specifically Roselle, New Jersey. Famous place here we're known for is Thomas Edison first tested his incandescent light bulb here in a small little basement here on Fifth Avenue and Chestnut. And we always crown ourselves the first in light, first in flight community here in New Jersey with Roselle. And, after high school, I went on to college, but I was still actively involved in my community with local races and helping out the community. And I had an awesome opportunity to intern in the state legislative offices of my district here in New Jersey, where I learned the legislative process and constituent concerns and how to handle those. And, just really familiarizing myself with state government, and served there for a few years, legislative interned and moved on to legislative aid, where I was able to work at the state capitol and be a representative of the deputy minority leader at the time, and really got a real good hard lesson, a good hard lesson of knowledge and relationship building, and working very closely with legislators and legislative staff and state house, and became the chief of staff at the age of 21 for the deputy minority leader, making me the youngest chief of staff ever being appointed in the state of New Jersey for any of the members of the legislature. And had an awesome responsibility very early on, and went on to college and obtained my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. I actually wanted to be an attorney. Went to New Jersey City University, where I obtained my bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and was on my way to law school, got to Seton Hall Law School, Eric, and absolutely hated it.
not for you, not for you.
And being raised in a tough household, being raised by a single parent grandparent, who was a law enforcement officer, that was not going to cut it dry quitting. And so I did leave law school and went on to obtain my master's degree at another public university, Kane University, all at the same time being the chief of staff and then running for my first public office when I was 24 years old as a city councilman here in the borough, and served in that capacity for 9 years and three terms, and you know, transitioned to running after my third term to mayor of the borough that I was born and raised in, and had the awesome opportunity to be a mayor of the town that I grew up in and raised, and part of everything that I've been all my life. It was just a tremendous opportunity to represent my community in that capacity. And in 2015, I actually left my term early as mayor. There was a state legislative assembly seat that opened up in the exact same district where I was an intern, where I was a legislative aide, where I was the chief of staff, and was supported by the Democratic committee of my county here in Union County to fill that vacancy, and served in the legislature for 6 years about. And that's where I met Bobby. We were working on some bills, and we had a very contentious bill, and I just received a call, you know, knowing, you know, the audience that's out there, if you don't know Bobby, Eric, you can probably attest to this more than anybody. Bobby's just one of those guys who will pick up the phone and call, or, you know, go to a store and meet you, or sit next to him. He's just that kind of guy that he's just a regular dude, you know. And he called me one day out of the blue, was not expecting his phone call, and told me that I reminded him, that I reminded him of his dad. Like he was reminded of his dad when it came to me on the work that I was able to do in the legislature and stopping a detrimental bill that was trying to work its way through the state legislature. And we've just developed a relationship now going on almost close to 10 years. And he's been a brother, a friend, I'm very excited about him finally making a decision. Many folks don't know, I talked to Bobby about this 2 years ago, and I mentioned to him, and one of the courses of our conversations that we often have, or one of our visits going to different states on supporting parents and supporting medical freedom rights. And I said to him, you know, you need to run for president. This was 2 years ago, almost now three. And it was one of those Bobby's like, nah, Jamel, like I'm good with what we're doing here and working through children's self-defense. And he was winning cases and bringing environmental cases at every single level of government. Last year around February, Bobby called again and said, can you spend some time in Hyannisport for some time? And he finally broke it to me that he was seriously considering running for president. We spent several days from morning till night just going over policy issues, going over many different issues that were out there. And he's finally decided in April of 2023, it was game on. And he wanted me to be his master of ceremonies at the kickoff at the Boston Hotel. And we've been on the road ever since, man. I can't believe how fast that year has gone. It's incredibly unbelievable. But we're having an amazing time meeting so many people across the country.
Wow.
Just bringing on so many people from a thought of, you know, trying to make that decision and get him there. And he, this was not an easy decision for him, but he saw what was going on in this country.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he stepped up because he is much of a leader that we need right now.
It is. I'm with you 100%. It is really excited. And he's always someone I've wanted to see run for president for many years. I'll be 38 this year. So I've been pretty engaged obsessively with American politics for, you know, over 20 years. And the Kennedys, I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Okay.
And the Kennedys were, you know, I grew up hearing about Teddy Kennedy and Bobby and JFK Jr. And Teddy was my senator when I was a kid, a young kid. And some of my earliest memories in politics are that race where Mitt Romney was the first formidable challenger he'd ever really had, Republican challenger. And Teddy just made short work of him in classic Kennedy style. So I always had the fascination with the family and looking at them from a historical lens and always being into Cold War history and, of course, both of the big Kennedy assassinations of the 60s. So when I started my podcast in 2015, RFK Jr. was someone who I was like a dream guest. It's like, oh, I'll never be able to get him on my show. I'll never be able, how am I going to meet a guy like him? And, but you know, it's just, it's proof. If you stick at something and put your mind to something, you can make it happen. And that's what I think of when I think about RFK Jr. You know, really against all odds and the life that he's lived and being committed to sobriety for the last 40 years, it's unbelievable where he is now and what he's been saying and what he's been doing and how he inspires people. And like you said, when he just called you out of the blue, that happened to me. So I was up here in New Hampshire and I actually just went to a Mike Pence event. I went and met Mike Pence because this was before he announced running for president, and he was doing like a book signing and a dinner at a town in Keene here in New Hampshire. And I was on the road and I was driving and a weird number that I didn't recognize came up through my caller screen on my car. So I answered it on speakerphone and I hear this voice and say, "Hey, is this Eric?" I said, "Yes, this is Eric." He said, "It's Bobby Kennedy." And I had to pull the car over to the side of the road. I couldn't believe, I was like, holy shit, RFK Jr.'s calling me right now. And
that's how it kind of occurred.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. He's that kind of guy.
He really is. And somehow through a mutual acquaintance, he got my number and he said, "I would be glad to do your podcast." So he plugged me in with his people and he did our podcast. That's the kind of guy he is. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about the reaction and the response that you're getting from people around the country to Bobby's message and the campaign events. Like, what are you seeing out there right now with people?
I mean, you mentioned you've been involved in politics 20 years. I'm almost there about 20 years. I see a new level of excitement that I've actually not seen in a very, 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 very long time, especially at this presidential level, right? There's some excitements that you get on the local levels, the state levels here and there. But on a national level, I haven't seen this type of movement take place in a very long time. And it just reminds me of what my thought process was, well, over 3 years ago when I suggested to Bobby that he should consider that, because what I was feeling amongst the people that I represented in my community, that at the national level, it was just chaos, right? There were policy issues going back and forth to discuss, but in terms of just leadership, it was this chaos. And I felt like there was a hunger for new leadership and someone different, not someone who were through the establishments or through a political office, someone that needed to be a uniter and someone who could talk, most importantly, truth to people, someone who people could listen to and understand, not just sound bites that we are often programmed to hear and see. But just someone, you know, who I just thought that just could get this country like back on the right track. And so what I'm seeing is that very same feeling in reality as I go across the country with him and our staff and our team and all the amazing volunteers have just incredibly stepped up in so many different ways. When you look at ballot access in these different states and you look online and all the creative spaces that people have found themselves. And I think that that is part of what Bobby, you know, thought process was when he announced, was, you know, the people, right? Like, let's provide a safe space for people who want to talk about national politics, who want to talk about the different issues that are out there. And I gotta be honest with you, I'm just incredibly proud of him as the leader of this, right? But just proud of the people, amount of people who are just sick and tired of that two-party system. And I'm a Democrat, always ran as a Democrat, continue to be a Democrat. I'm just supporting an independent candidate at this time. And I think that when Bobby decided to move from Democrat to independent, I think that helped out our campaign a lot because it didn't just put a label on us with these two-party systems. And I think that as this campaign grows and as we continue to get our message out there, there are going to be more and more and more and more people out there that are going to realize that, you know what, no longer with these two options at this present time. They may go back to it in the future. Bobby may go back to a Democrat. You know, you never know, right? But
right.
This time, I think that having no labels and where he sits at right now is the best possible space to be in. And again, he was forced to leave, you know, the party, right? And that was not a very easy decision to make for him. I know he struggled with that. Having been part of the Democratic Party all his life and his family, who were one of our most respected families in the Democratic Party, it was not easy, but they forced him to change in rules. And I think you were in New Hampshire, you said. You were a part of all, you know, all of that. Just that type of, you know, disrespect to the whole, you know, party system that we've developed in the party, like just took the rules out of the way and just changed them and just blew it up. And
yeah,
it just forced him to, he's a winner, right? He wants to run to win. He's running to win. And so when you have these changing of the rules and changing of committee policy matters in the Democratic National Committee, I don't blame him. I mean, he didn't want to be a part of that. And I think he's best situated.
No, he definitely made the right call. And when we were still running in the Democratic primary, I would outreach county chairs here in New Hampshire, Democratic county chairs, town chairs, committees, and I just got the cold shoulder from everybody. Hmm. I got, oh, he's dangerous. We had experts looking to him, and he's a spreader of disinfo. All, you know, run through the gamut of all the memes and all the bullshit, quite frankly, that's said about Bobby and his platform. So really, there was no space for someone reasonable like that. And I bet you
they can never tell you what they just said to you, and never provide any type of evidence to.
It's all emotion, conjecture, emotion, slandering, smearing, and propaganda. It's just, you know, granted, a lot of these people are kind of older boomer people who I know that is a demographic the campaign has had a hard time reaching simply for the fact that they still are piped into that mainstream media matrix of MSNBC, CNN, and your traditional, you know, legacy media. They're not watching or listening to Joe Rogan or Sagar and Crystal or the other media places and spaces that have been very open and welcome to Mr. Kennedy. But yeah, cold shoulder, man. The Democrats really were just, we were treated, and you've probably heard this a million times, we were treated so much better by Republicans, by MAGA, by libertarians, you know, people who weren't big on the two-party system. They were much more accommodating and like, yeah, tell me about RFK Jr. Why are you working for him? Why do you believe in him? Why do you want him to be the next president? So for some of the negative conversations and interactions we had, it's majority positive.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to know, they really want to know, because most people inherently know that we've been lied to systematically by our government and by our media. So they know that we're being lied to when it comes to election season and the candidates that are in there that are going to operate outside of that two-party monopoly and two-party system of gangs, as Jesse Ventura calls them. They're the two gangs, Jamal, Democrips and Republicans. So were you at the event in Arizona with Governor Ventura?
No, I was working on the other side of the country at that point.
I saw some video of it. It looks like it went well.
Oh, no, it definitely went well. We got a lot of feedback on the event. I was at the Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Yeah,
which was also exciting. But we heard a lot of great positive feedback for that. And, you know, from where we started at the Kennedy compound last February to now has just been amazing to see it all come to fruition and to light. And I'm very proud of them. It's not easy out here running for public office. No, there's not a lot long line of people lining up to get inside the movie theater here to see the breaking new movie. Right. But I'm very proud that he's just weathered every single storm, and he's motivation for not only me, but millions of people who just are happy that he's running and want to get involved, and the volunteers that are out there, and the amount of people who are going to make an informed decision at some point who are watching him and listening to him. And he's doing a phenomenal job, and he's healthy. He's great. He's better prepared on any level versus these two other candidates that we have. And
yeah,
we're going to win this thing, man.
Well, it's just a unique perspective and position for someone who was born into it and grew up inside of it, you know, born into a very powerful, connected, wealthy family. And then obviously you're a young child. Your uncle is the president of the United States. Your father's the attorney general. And you just grow up in that world and you meet all these people, all these world leaders from around the world, diplomats, spies, people in the press, celebrities. It's crazy. So he has such a unique perspective and a deep well of experience and connections to draw on that you need when you're a president, when you're a leader and a diplomat. And, you know, he has all those things. So a lot of people were asking me before our talk tonight, you know, Eric, what do you make of Bobby's flirtation or the intrigue with the Libertarian Party? So what are you hearing out there about that, Jamel? Are you hearing people want him to go, run for the convention in May? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, you know, Bobby's better prepared to answer that question on his thought process on that angle. But this is what I will tell you. They are humans, they are people too, correct? And so Bobby will talk to anyone, a conversation, a pathway to something. And so they've always reached out, libertarians. There's libertarians who reached out to me here from the Libertarian Party in New Jersey, where I reside. There are volunteers that we have from the Libertarian Party that are right on the ground with us in many different states for ballot access, just people in general from the Libertarian Party and the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and the Independent Party. So I think Bobby's working his way through any of those thought processes. And I think that at the right time, he will, you know, let the community and the voters know where he's at. But I don't think it's nothing wrong with him having a conversation. I think that that's part of what his candidacy is all about, right? Healing this divide, right? Like we always been programmed to, okay, we're going to go Democrat or we're going to go Republican. How dare you say libertarian, right? That's just like, how dare you say that, right? But what's wrong with having a conversation with the fellow American? And what's wrong with having a group of people who believe a certain way but want to get behind your candidacy? And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. And I think he's one to make that known of what direction he's going to go into. And a lot of the priority issues right now that we are focusing on is ballot access. And so when you bring people together that can help with any of those efforts, I think that that's what we want in someone who's willing to sit down and talk and achieve that goal to get on the ballot. And it should not be this hard as a presidential candidate to get on the ballot, but that's this conglomerate, right? That has been captured and controlled for far too long. And he is steadfast and has made it very clear that our focal point is gonna be on all 50 states plus DC to make sure that people have an opportunity to vote for him.
Absolutely. Amen. So for people listening, Jamel, who might not understand or know what the process is for an independent to get on the ballot free of any party, what does that look like? And how is that process executed for those who might not know about it?
Yeah, no. And Jackman, that's a very important question. And one of the things that I think we've done great on the campaign side is that every state is different. Every state has their own statutory guidelines for how to get on the ballot, whether it's president, state senate, Congress, you know, local offices. So every state is different. And what we've done on our side is we put an interactive map up. So you can click on your state and it will provide you the latest information of where you can sign up, how to obtain a ballot, if a packet is not available yet, because again, every state has certain time frames, have certain number of signatures. I mean, I'm fortunate in New Jersey, we only need 800 signatures for the president here. So a lot of our team is organizing now to help New York and Pennsylvania, which is two states that are close to us. But what one of the things that we've done is, again, going back to that map online, so those of you who do want to support Bobby and are those of you who are on the fence and want to support him and, you know, want to give us an opportunity, please feel free to go to Kennedy24.com and look up the ballot access option. And there you will see a map of the country. And you can just click on your state and it will give you events and rundowns of everything that that is going on in that particular state to help us obtain to get him on the ballot. It is a very difficult process, very tedious. You have to be very careful, very thoughtful on how we attack this, because if there are issues, then of course we know that there will be challenges. And we want to preserve as many resources as possible and get it right so that we don't have to provide resources to a challenge that, you know, we did or a member of our team did or a volunteer did. We want to stay singular focus on the goal, which is obtaining ballot access in that particular state. So I encourage everyone who is listening or will watch or is reviewing to go to Kennedy24.com and log on to the campaign website. One, take a look at his policy issues if you have questions. Take a look at the wide range of policy videos that we've put out. Take a look at the events that are going on in your community. Take a look at a lot of his positions. Also follow Mr. Kennedy online in terms of social media, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, where he's very active and our campaign is very active. And I would be very surprised if that you're stuck on an issue or you want some, you know, level of clarification on something. I'm 99.99% sure you will find that on any of his social media sites and or website. And if you don't, right, that one little percentage point of people who don't find anything or need some clarification or something, we have a team across the country that can help them get an answer. But our focal point right now, for not just individuals who want to support Bobby, right? This is our priority right now, is to give the American people the opportunity, because 70% of Americans who were polled, right? Because you only polling is who you can catch, right? And who you can get in front of or on the phone or on the computer. 70% of those people believe that they don't want to vote for Biden or Trump. Right. So even if you're not at a point right now where you want to even support Bobby, and we want you to, and we want their support, give him the opportunity to at least get him on your state's ballot so that individuals and voters have that opportunity. And I think that that is most important than anything, that we need to have candidates on a ballot to vote for. And I believe Bobby is actually the right candidate. When you sit and you listen to him and you know what he stands for, of all the issues that we're being faced with today, but also his leadership skill set that he's demonstrated over decades of working with the NAACP and working with environmental groups, just his skill set and leadership over the years to tackle a lot of those issues without even being in public office, right?
Yeah.
Not even having to answer to constituencies, right? And you will see a leader who is more than capable and or will surround themselves around with good, thoughtful people to make sure that we get the job done for the American people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really good point. He did all those things and got people together without holding any elected office. And of course, when you're a Kennedy, that's with you your whole life. When you're going to run for office, you're going to get into politics. And he's been asked that question since he was a kid. So that does really speak to the unique skills and the perspective and the ability to really like coalition build. Because when I think about the Kennedy campaign and the characters and the people that I've come across and I've met, man, it is such a mixed bag and a wide range of people, which is good. That's encouraging. You know, you have many different trains of thought, people who work in many different industries, who've worked in politics before, who haven't worked in politics before. So based on what you've experienced and you've heard and seen, what would you say is the biggest misconception about RFK Jr. and the campaign itself?
The biggest misconception of individuals who just make propaganda comments about who he is and don't even know him, or who have seen stuff on, you know, mainstream media TV that was not factual. And I think that what he's done very well and what our team has done very well is not get into the weeds of it, but actually show you and talk to you and come to you and discuss these issues. You know, no one's perfect, right? We're humans, right? There may be an idea or a pathway of where Bobby or our team is heading. But one of the things that I've learned is that when we have these discussions and we have a very thoughtful, robust conversation, you know, we get to a point where, okay, yeah, they may be right. This may be the path. And what we've been programmed to know that in politics, that if you are stuck on a decision and you've made that decision at the time that you made it, the minute you change, because maybe you have talked to someone or there's an experience that has impacted you, or, you know, there's an event that occurs and it can change your mind. It can make you think differently, right? And that's okay, right? But we've been so programmed to say, well, you said this when you said this and that was that. And why are you saying this now? And why are you doing that now? I'm sorry. I thought I was human. Maybe I didn't think about that, or my mindset wasn't there, or this is what I was going through at this moment, and this is
exactly.
And so I don't think that some of the misconception I've seen is people just talk those, you know, those talking points that are all out there, but we're way past that at this point now. We're a year in and we've weathered the storm, and I think that the next several months you're going to see a wave of the Kennedy campaign take on like no other that you've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've heard a lot of people call this campaign the first podcast presidential election. And there's no doubt about it. Bobby has just been kicking ass in the podcast game. Obviously having his own, I think it's called The Defender, mm-hmm. Bobby's podcast. So having that before he even ran for office is awesome because he understands the medium. He gets it. And, you know, just like.
But how cool is that, right? How cool is it that he has been a part of a industry, the podcast industry, that was so under the radar and under ratings because we had these conglomerates of the mainstream media. How cool is it that we've been censored out of the mainstream media for a period of time? The messages that we were talking about, or he would talk about, or things that he would say referencing different studies in the mainstream media. How cool is it that we have a candidate who can be the next president, and I believe he will be, come from a podcast world, from the underground, right?
Yeah.
From the bottom, right? And having to be a part of expanding that industry to where now the podcast community has more views and more people paying attention than regular mainstream media. And I think that that's a wonderful story in itself. And I really appreciate you bringing that up and saying that. And kudos to you too for participating in such an industry and having your audience and people who listen to you and people who admire your guests that you bring on periodically, that they can, you know, be a part of something. And kudos to you for doing that and participating in this industry.
Thank you. Yeah, it's amazing. It's a very unique thing to have a candidate who is willing to go for anywhere from an hour to 3 hours. He did over 3 hours with Joe Rogan, the biggest podcast on the planet. Unscripted, no questions vetted, no pretense. Certainly when my brother and I sat down with Bobby, we could ask him anything. We could ask him about anything. Nothing was off limits. There was no restrictions or conditions put on anything. I'd love to see Joe Biden try and do that. I do have full faith, and I know Trump can do
it. If they let him, there's a difference.
That's true.
Trying if he wants to, if they let him.
Hey, I was promised ice cream. What is this place, Jamel? But we know Trump can do it. We know Trump has been itching to get on Rogan, and that's kind of an interesting thing that Rogan has not had Trump on or invited him on, and there's been overtures from him. So that speaks to the clout and the democratization of media in the hands of everyday people, in the hands of comedians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Tim Dillon. I've been a huge Tim Dillon fan for years. And I told Bobby this, him and Cheryl on Tim Dillon was awesome. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. Bobby and Cheryl.
And it brings out the human side of
human.
People, right. Right.
Because yes.
We're like, okay, he has to be in a suit and people expect him to be in a suit or people expect him to be a certain way, like a politician. But I tell people all the time, come to an event.
Yeah.
Come meet him.
Yeah.
You don't have to take my word for it. He's been a candidate in just about every single country that we, of every single state that we have in this country. There are opportunities for Bobby, for you to meet Bobby. And it's just, you know, he's a human.
Yeah, he's a regular guy.
A regular guy.
He is. And
this is what you want in a person who's going to lead this country. And don't mistake. There's no mistake about it. He's brilliant. He's smart. It's articulate. It's a trait. But in his thinking, in his thought process, he really delves deep down inside of his heart and his mind to make the right decision. Like, it's not about him. It's not about his family. It's not about this or that. It's about, we have an issue here and there are people and there are things that are going on, and he really thinks those things through. He's not a knee-jerk reaction individual, and I think that's missing. And he's involved, right? He has advisors. Yeah. I'm one, you know, and a proud honorary member of him. Selected me to be one of his advisors, and we're there to help go through that thought process and to provide him the right opinions and
right
and knowledge and status that stats and information. Yeah. So he can get to that final answer of where we go. But I will tell you, in all of the years that I've known Bobby, I've never seen him make a knee-jerk reaction or step out on something and not think it through just because it may have been popular. Clearly, he has made that have yes. been unpopular, right? But
yes.
he stuck through it and, you know, believed in his heart it was the right thing to do. And it might have not got that knee-jerk response, and he might have had to go through some storms of people doubting why he would do certain things. But in the end, he was right. And so he plays the long-term game, and that's one thing I like about him.
Yeah, well, also the sign of a leader. Sometimes you do have to make quick decisions on the fly, but also in the age of Twitter and every instant gratification, he does take into consideration other viewpoints and right. people who he has around him or he's talking to who are advisors or just anyone. I mean, even here in New Hampshire, when we were still running in the Democratic primary, he gave me a call one night before he was speaking to the New Hampshire Senate. And he said, you know, what are you seeing in New Hampshire on the ground? What are some things that everyday people in New Hampshire are concerned about? What are you concerned about, Eric, in your neighborhood, in your community? Mm-hmm. And he was genuine and real about it. And he wanted my thoughts on it. And we talked for a little bit. And then he spoke about it in his speech in the Senate, New Hampshire mm-hmm. Senate. So mm-hmm. that's what you want in a leader, someone who will take input from many different perspectives. And before they make a decision or go forward with something, they consider what other people have to say. And that's, we don't really see that much anymore in our politics. And it's really refreshing. And also what's refreshing is how he's turned the dial down on the vitriol and the contempt that you're supposed to, well, that people are programmed to have when you don't agree with other people. We don't hate our neighbors. We don't hate people that we disagree with. That to me, that's a programming done by the media and sensationalism and the 24/7 social media loop. Mm-hmm. of what's going on. So he's putting back a civility into our mm-hmm. politics that's been missing for a real right. long time.
Yep. I agree. And we need it. We need that civility. I think it's caused us to be at a certain point where we forgot what neighbor is. We forgot what friend is. And we've been torn on just policy issues that have torn families apart and friends apart.
Yeah,
and what he's saying is, and being a representative of that, right, being in the middle, right, Bobby's in the middle of two individuals, of candidates running for president who 70% of the Americans don't want either or don't want to see that matchup, right?
Right.
So he's in a unique space where he could go full throttle and attack. He can go full throttle on both Trump's legal issues that we always see that's been programmed on certain media mm-hmm. channels.
Yeah.
He can go full throttle on Biden's age and issues that Biden's having that's being brought out with mainstream media avenues. And yet you see Bobby right there in the middle saying, let them deal with their own personal issues. Let them deal with what they have going on. He's been there. He's done that. Eric, you've been there. You've done that. You've gone through your own issues as a person. So if I'm going to be a leader of bringing people together as a country, why participate? Now, I'm not telling you that he's a punk. I'm not saying that. Because if we got to go do some reminding of some, you know, issues that people need to be made aware of about what they stand for and what they've done to this country, we're human too, right? People need to hear from us. But what I'm saying is that we don't have to do it in a volatile way to continue to bring this country further apart. And I believe Bobby's naive to a point in certain instances, because it's like he wants Democrats, Republicans, and independents and libertarians and everybody to come together, right? And he really believes that every single American can come together as a unit to build the country. He believes that within his heart. And every day he wakes up, and every place he goes, that is a focal point of his. And I think that people counted us out early on. And, you know, a year later, we're here. And I think that the next few months, I think that all the mainstream media who is dying in viewership, and all the mainstream media who censored him, and all the mainstream media that is practically on a lifeline. I think you're going to see Bobby Kennedy probably be a primetime special at least once a week on many of those shows to save them from what their agenda was to to censor people and control people and program people. I think you're going to probably see him like he's been a part of uplifting the podcast community. I think that you're going to probably see him uplift the mainstream media and make them honest.
And I think there's got to be a lot of them who haven't said it yet or in the inside are really excited to see Bobby doing this and him out there. And they do want to extend a hand, but they have to see another certain click or another person do it. And then they're like, oh, maybe it's okay for me to do it now.
And you're right, Eric. And you know what? We were talking about this the other day. And you've been a part of our campaign. And thank you again. We were talking about this the other day to some of our team members. And it was like, wow, CNN is capturing a day in the life of us. Like they want to come to an event and they don't want to stay for 20 to 30 minutes. They actually want to spend the whole weekend with us. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
NBC, ABC. Oh, wow. You guys reached out. Oh, great. Well, welcome. Glad to have you. We appreciate you reaching out. And I think a lot of them have been very skillful in approaching us as a very unique side door, back door, front door kind of approach on specific unique issues to one, cover themselves from their corporate media empire that really doesn't want them to cover us, right? Or wants to distort what they cover us for. But what I've seen is a very skillful backdoor, front door, side approach to our campaign on issues that gives that reporter or gives that anchor the coverage to say, I really want to do this and cover you, but cover their backs with their corporate conglomerate that they shows them that they know what that agenda is. Mm-hmm. And skillfully get us through and cover us in a very unique way. I've never seen anything happen, but it's happening.
Yeah.
And we welcome them, and we want more people to cover the campaign, because at the end of the day, he is a candidate for president. And whether or not the media or the sponsors or the corporate programmers in the back room want to cover us in a certain way, we welcome you to cover us, but be factual. Yeah. Be honest. We are running for president, and we should be given the same time or focus that every campaign is doing. And in fact, I think that we have by far, when you look at activity and when you look at engagement and when you look at a candidate of the three, we have the most engagement, we have the most active candidate. Bobby is around this country and engages in this country more than the president and vice president put together. And with our focal point on issues, we actually have more activity than both Biden and Trump. And that should be covered fairly,
honestly,
and uniquely. And I'm starting to see that trend. And that's why I'm very excited about, the next few months, because we've got through the tough part. We weathered the storm. Everything they had, they threw at us. Everything they tried to come up with, they threw at us. And I think they've realize now they've reached a point where they got an invite to him. And I think he's doing a pretty good job. We're having a pretty good job. And I think that we're exciting Americans bit by bit, day by day, event by event, post by post, into this campaign for them, because that's what he's going to represent when he becomes the president. He's going to represent the people.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better. And aside from the libertarian intrigue, the second thing a lot of people wanted me to ask you about is VP talk. What are you hearing? What do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
I say the same thing Bobby always says. It's going to be coming soon.
come on, Jamal. Don't give me that political BS. No, I'm just kidding, man.
Nah, it's going to be coming soon. And Bobby's always mentioned that. I would sit tight and that's another process that he's gone through and thought about that process and who that right person would be for the right moment in this country and who he believes would be any event that something was to occur to him would be a good person to step in and who can talk about and, you know, deal with and have the knowledge and wherewithal and the capacity to be the president of the United States. So I would sit tight. I don't think it's far away. That's the best I could probably tell you.
Yeah.
But I don't
well,
think
ballot it's, access.
Right. Ballot access. I was going to say ballot access has kind of been like at a standstill in certain
places.
Do
you know how many states off the top of your head? Is it 20 or 23 where you have to have a VP?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have a tremendous amount of states that require you to have a VP. So, you know, let Bobby have that opportunity to share with America who he wants to be, his sidekick, right? Partner, sidekick, friend, brother, sister, in this journey with him. And I would say just sit tight. It's going its way.
Yeah, I'm sure you do too every day. I get asked about it every day. Who's it going to be? Who is it now? What do you think? What have you heard? I'm like, I'll try to be a little political and I say, yeah, you'll hear when it's ready to come out. So yeah, we're coming down to our last 10 minutes here. I gotta ask you, I mean, New Jersey politics, man, that's rough and tumble and can be nasty and well, politics everywhere can be. So do you got any good, any good stories about Menendez or Cory Booker or Chris Christie? What do you got for me, Jamel?
Good stories. Your timing is on point, right? Because Menendez receives another superseding indictment. And this is what I will tell you about Menendez, because I've been in politics in Jersey all my young adult life, right? Menendez and I had a very good relationship in terms of partnering on policy issues and community. He's been in my borough. When I was mayor, he would come to, you know, various events. He was a retail politician as well. Like, he started like I did from the bottom. And I mean, he was school board member, councilman, mayor, state senator, state assembly, moved his way up to Congress and became a very influential congressman and then senator, and has become a very influential senator. He has not done anything personally to me. And every time that I've called him or reached out to him or to his office on behalf of myself or any of my constituents, he has been very helpful. It is unfortunate that this is occurring to someone who you worked with. I wish him the best of luck as a human, because nobody wants to go through this. I don't have anything negative to say about him. He has certainly done a great job in terms of delivering resources and delivering a great deal of policy, wins for our state. And I just wish him the best of on him and his family as he goes through this. I got to imagine that it's very difficult for him, but I don't have anything negative to say about him. Let the law be the law. Let the legal challenges be the legal challenges. That's why we have lawyers. That's why I wanted to be an attorney and absolutely hated it. Now I see why. I found my way, right? I wanted to be an attorney, but then I found my way like, oh, I think I'm going to like go down this road of making laws and legislating. And I found, you know, a very good reward in doing that on behalf of the people I represented in New Jersey. But yeah, Jersey's tough, man.
Rough and tumble.
We've been through a lot of political fights. I mean, a lot of my fights have been very challenging. But I will say that what has gotten me through, you know, my 14 years, 15 years of public office, elective office, and 21 years of public office is staying true to who you are, man. And being there for the people that you represent. And being there for those individuals who need leadership. And just like the model that I've always instilled in my staff, in my administration when I was mayor, and my staff that I instilled in when I was in the legislature, is be there for people like someone was there for you. And I think that is something I continue to live by with, even in, you know, this role that I possess today, with working with the next president, is be there for people like someone was there for you. And I think that model has been a winning success. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to win every fight and every battle of being there for people like someone was there for you, right? What I'm saying is that in the end, that's what matters and that's what counts.
I like that.
Do that.
Yeah, reciprocating it and keeping that cycle going. So, I mean, early on, who were a couple of political figures that really you looked up to and who really inspired you to say to yourself, you know what, I think I can do this and I want to go down this path?
Before I answer that politically, I want to say the person that inspired was my grandmother who raised me, right? That was who all I had to look up to in the sense of as a child, and someone who taught me the inner values and heart and strength and no bullshit, you know, coming out of the Holly family was my grandmother. Politically, and I would say legally, right? Because my mindset was really law, right? Legal. Legally was Johnny Cochran, who was an attorney. He's mostly famed for being a part of several different celebrity cases. But his story, Journey to Justice, and his story about where he came from, and his story how being there for people like they were there for you, and, you know, having the wherewithal as a Black man, right? And those challenges that we face, right? Eric, like, you're my brother, right? But let's not be naive to the fact that there are challenges of people who had different ethnic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to go through that. But JFK, even though I wasn't around.
Yep, I got him right there.
Yep, the historic visions and the historic readings and the historic lessons that I've learned over the years. He was certainly, definitely someone. And so for me to be a part of that family now, right? I'm a part of the family now, officially.
That's beautiful. That.
And to meet Bobby and for him to just take me under his wing like a brother has just been one of the most best experiences. And for me to be honest with him when he comes to looking for a decision and coming to seek direction and coming to find a pathway on something to lead the country or lead on an issue or lead on a policy issue, to come to him and able to provide him true, honest, unbiased advice on where I think we should go is definitely been probably one of the most rewarding experiences that I've had in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. It is kind of a surreal pinch me moment. Someone asked me what it was like working on the campaign and just being around RFK Jr. And I said it has, you know, not to sound corny, but there's kind of a spiritual, supernatural quality mm-hmm. to it, where there is an ethos and a train of thought and a discipline that man is carrying forward that preceded him going back 60 years to when the United States and Cuba and the Soviet Union were on the brink of nuclear annihilation. Right. And he's carrying that football and that legacy, and that's powerful, man. You feel it when you're with him. It's a powerful thing.
And the same with our team, right, Jackman? You said it, like there's a spiritual feeling, right? And you know, I always see articles of people who write about us and are still, like, it's chaos, and it's like, but we always bring it back to why we're here, right? If there's not a campaign in America, or a campaign locally, or a campaign in the state, or a campaign in your county, or a campaign anywhere you're doing or advocating for an issue, and it's not chaos, then you're not doing the right thing. I don't even want to be a part of it.
It's not a campaign. Yeah.
But you said something very important, which I think how we should end this is that it's a spiritual connection of this oneness of why we're really here, and that is making sure that we all come together and stay focused on who we believe is the best person to lead this country over the next 4 years. I lose no sleep on any of those individuals who talk about the chaos in the campaign or bitter people. It's just backroom noise, honestly. And as I mentioned to you, if you're not yelling and screaming and disagreeing and trying to get to an end goal, then what are we doing?
Yeah, you don't have
everybody's not the same, right? Everybody's not the same, and everybody doesn't disagree. But it's about the respect, and if you're in it for the cause of what we're here for, that spiritual part, which is not nothing to mess around with. That spirit is real. If that spirit connects with you, you're always gonna find yourself back to where you want it to be at. And that is staying focused on the goal. And I think that's what we do every single day.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, hang up with me after I end the stream here, Jamel. But ladies and gentlemen, for those listening for the first time, that's Jamel Hawley. He is an advisor to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., his presidential campaign here in 2024, a legend of New Jersey politics. Lots of different experiences led him to this point. And Jamel, I'm really honored to have you join me tonight. Just tell the people where they can find you and follow what you're up to day to day and keep up on all your happenings.
Muted. Jamel Hawley at all social media platforms. Jamel Hawley, Instagram, Jamel Hawley, Twitter, X, Facebook. And also, if you want to join the campaign or have a question about the campaign, feel free to email me at jamel@teamkennedy.com.
Absolutely. Thank you. And folks, thank you for listening. And if you like this podcast, you could support us by becoming a monthly patron at patreon.com/JackmanRadio. And please subscribe to the channel. Follow me on Twitter X at Jackman Radio, Instagram, and like this video, comment, tell me what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. Tell me some guests you'd like to see us have on. And again, please consider becoming a patron, a monthly patron, $5, $10, Jackman Radio, patreon.com/Jackman Radio. We will catch you next time. Thank you for tuning in.